Hello and welcome to the UK's
number one. In your own time, Chris.
For God's sake. And welcome to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. These two have been playing games with me, hence the rather staccato introduction, haven't you, Dean?
Not at all. No, we are totally professional on this show. We would not do such a thing.
And Mads, you're naughty.
No. I don't remember what you're talking about.
So we're back for the first time in a couple of months, first time in a while, actually, doing a conventional Game Club shortlisting episode.
For
various reasons over the past few months, we've been doing something slightly different. We're just finishing off Day of the Tentacle for March. Mm-hmm. But we are doing something pretty special for April because it is the grand ZX Spectrum's 40th birthday in April 2022.
It is indeed.
We are going to have a special Game Club month celebrating the great one, the ZX Spectrum. The greatest of all the 8-bit micros. Isn't that right, Mads?
No, but let's not go there.
Come on. Spectrum is glorious.
It
Team
is.
Team Colour Clash, led by Captain Colour Clash himself, Dean Swain.
That's me.
So how have you been, lads?
Busy.
Yeah? Gaming-wise?
Mads has been busy as well. We've both been busy. Mads has been busier than me, and I was moaning last night, and after Mads told me what he'd been up to and the stuff that's going on, I felt kind of guilty for even moaning. So.
But we've all got stuff, right? We're all busy, aren't we? And we crack on. And this is our release.
That's it.
Little bit of time that we get is our release. So any gaming-wise, have you been up to anything gaming-wise? Have you played Great Escape yet?
No. I played bits of it. I want to leave it for that episode because, me and The Great Escape haven't been getting on too well.
What is it? What, you're finding it difficult to play, or you're finding it difficult to find the time to play it?
I'm finding it, difficult to find the time to play it. It's the game, as I said before, the game can be completed in about half an hour. If you don't put a foot wrong. Mm. But for me, coming into it 30 years later, trying to remember what to do without playing it with a guide or following a video, I'm finding it difficult and I want to do it properly.
Yeah.
And one thing which didn't really bother me back in 1986 when I played it was that there's no music. It's just got the odd beep. You know, when you pick something up, you might get a bleep or a little farty noise, whatever.
It's 128K game, though, right?
No, it's 48K.
It's a reasonably late game, though, isn't it? Was it 1986?
1986 was the year the 128K machines were released. Yeah. So, there wasn't always even later on, there wasn't always 128K versions. Mm. So there's no in-game music. So you have to put some music on in the background, which kind of... You know, what music do you put on to a prisoner of war camp game that fits it? You know, it's a bit strange. Yeah.
Create your own atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a great game, but I think, you know, coming back to it all this time later, there's, like I say, there's no music. Now, with a game that's very similar to it, which is Where Time Stood Still.
Yeah, successor, isn't it?
That was 128K only, and it's got a nice tune, although it does get quite repetitive.
It's important, though, isn't it, for setting the scene and setting the atmosphere.
Out of those two games, I still think that The Great Escape is the better game, but it just lacks... It needs some music or something.
But
we'll come back to that on that episode.
Yeah,
it would be nice if you had a Sid chip there, wouldn't it, Dean?
It would, yes.
Even an AY chip would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, even the AY chip would have done...
Yeah, that's true.
Would have been better than silence, yeah. Mm.
And what about you, Mads? Anything been up to anything gaming-wise?
Oh, yes. I've been playing through Day of the Tentacle. Looking forward to recording that episode with you. I played through that game so many times, so I played it with the remastered version, but in the classical graphics and sound and everything, but with the developer's commentary on it.
Lovely.
There, which was a really great way to experience this game again, because I learned a lot, actually, about this game's development that I didn't know. So, that was nice. Apart from that, I have been playing, I'm not going to spoil anything yet, but of course I've been playing Jumpman Jr. and Hero, and I will continue playing Hero today. That's the plan tonight.
Great game. I wish I'd pick something Hero. Like that.
Yeah, Hero is it's a really great game. And beautiful on the C64, but we'll get to that when that episode is recorded.
No, it's better on the 2600.
So did you fly through Day of the Tentacle, Mads? Did it all come flooding back?
Oh, yes. Easy peasy. I could remember every single puzzle. So
I'm right near the end. So I've just got... be careful here, because I don't want to spoil anything. So I've just got to the point where they're all the party are back together.
Okay. Well, you've not got much game left there then.
No, and I've just installed it on... because it's on Game Pass on the Xbox One, the remaster. So I thought, having gone through it on my... I've got it working pretty easily, actually, on the Pentium 2 Windows 98 PC.
Okay.
And I thought, well, go through it on that as classic as possible. And then I'll play the remaster on the Xbox One with the developer commentary and have a look at those remastered graphics.
Yeah.
I'm not sold in the first few minutes. I'm not a massive fan of these remastered graphics, but I'm going to see if it grows on me.
I love my pixel art. So when they do something like this to it, it just doesn't work for me.
And it's almost at that pinnacle, that mid-90s pinnacle of just incredibly beautiful pixel art.
It doesn't get much better. It looks like a pixel art cartoon.
Why do they feel the need? They insist on updating these graphics when they look fine as they are.
Yeah. I don't know.
I could understand if it was, you know, a ZX Spectrum game and they want to tart it up, you know.
Mm.
But with something like that, I think those graphics around that time were superb, and they don't need to be messed about with.
But I guess that's probably us, because we love our pixel art. We know, Chris, we were recording about Monkey Island with Andy and Jim, and they're not that heavily into the pixel art, so they actually preferred the remastered graphics, which is an atrocity.
Of course,
I'll never talk to them again. I guess there is a need for doing the remastered graphics for some of the players as well out there.
Crazy, I think, but there you go.
Yeah. I finally got myself a CRT monitor to play Day of the Tentacle. It's only a small one. I think it's only a 12-inch screen. But I got it.
It has to be 14.
Yeah, it is a bit small. But they're really expensive. You know, this one wasn't too bad. But the case, when it arrived, the case was cracked. So there's a massive gaping hole in the top of the monitor where the case cracked.
I think with these... when you're picking up a monitor or a CRT, you've got to try and buy it locally.
I know. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have. But it was courier, you know, so I paid for courier delivery.
I know, but look, this one here, the cream one, that's just behind the microphone there. I picked that up for nothing.
Did you?
I was going to throw it, locally.
Because they're not cheap to get a decent one. You know, you're looking at a couple of £100.
Yeah, that's a Dell.
Yeah. Wow. So I paid £100 for mine, and it's pretty much a no name 12-inch screen.
So I've got the most beautiful ViewSonic CRT 15-inch. It's crisp, and cost me nothing because I picked it up in the trash.
Oh man!
Yeah, he's a skip raider.
Why do these good things ever happen to me? Damn it! So what news have we got, guys? Anyone brought anything to the party?
Yes.
I'll let Mads go first.
I was just about to say Dean's got something.
I've got something. All right, I'll go first.
After you, sir.
Okay, this should have been mentioned on the show quite a while ago, so it's been out for a little while, but there's a game out on the ZX Spectrum Next. Remember that? The ZX Spectrum Next. Anyway, it's called Dougie Doo, and it's by Robert Moran. it's basically like a Dig Dug clone, but it's really well polished. It's got nice music. It's really good game. So if you're into your sort of Dig Dug games, or Mr. Do, very similar to that as well, hence the name Dougie Do, then give that a try. It's free. And remember, if you've got a not just a ZX Spectrum next, but if you've got a Mr. or an Engo ZX Spectrum clone, then give this a try. It's well worth a play.
Where can we get it from, Dean?
You can get it from, I'll put a link in the show notes. It's on.
Oh, those mythical show notes. What show notes? Are you going to do
some? I do them. Of course I do.
I've never seen them.
So when Dean actually says he's going to add something to the show note, that's the only time that it's actually added to the show notes. When we guys say it, nothing ever happens because we forget to tell Dean.
Show notes. If you go on to retroasylum.com, which is rather spankingly new, looking good, you click on the episode and underneath you get a description of the episode, and plus it'll be a link to this game and whatever other games we mention.
Yes. All right. Providing patrons and everything.
I take it all back.
It's all there. There's links to our Twitter, our YouTube page, our merchandise, all that sort of stuff. Retroasylum.com.
There you go, Matt. So there are show notes.
So, yes. So Dean, Chris and I, we often say something, or actually mostly Chris say, I will add that to the show notes, and we never tell you, so it's never added to the show notes.
No,
so that's why referring
that's,
to them.
That's what you need to do, is let me know, and I can add them.
Yes.
It's almost as classic as we'll come back to that in a minute, and we never do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
that sounds really good, and it sounds like it's worth checking out.
It is a nice little game. Plenty of value there, considering it's free.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great little game.
I love Dig Dug in the arcade back in the day, so I'll have to check this out.
Mm. It's one of those games, though, that it's like crack, isn't it? You can't start Dig Dug, because once you do...
that's it. You ain't putting it down for a while.
Yeah. You got anything, Matt?
Have I got anything? You were actually about to mention a game from some team, weren't you?
I was, because... Keeping with the Spectrum Next theme, our friend of the show, Paul Weller, otherwise known as Sun Team, author of the Grelox games, and he's got Grelox Contagion on the Spectrum Next, one of my favourite Spectrum Next games. We had him on, didn't we, Dean? Well, it must have been 18 months ago now.
About that, yeah.
He's just released his self-published game on Itch, Golden Seas, which is a text adventure with some absolutely lovely illustrations. I'm only looking at the stills here. I bought this. It's $8.95 on Itch. So if you search Sun Team on Itch, you'll see his store. It was only published yesterday, which is the 25th of March yesterday. And anyone who's played his short, almost interactive novella that he published right at the start of the Spectrum Next software library, Right of the Druid, will be familiar with his style. I would say these graphics look even better than that. They look really, really nice in these stills that I'm looking at on the website. 120 locations he's promised, and no deaths. So he's very much in the LucasArts style. So no sudden deaths, no dead ends, open adventure, solving puzzles in any order that you like. And a strong story to go with it.
It's available on itch.io.
Yeah.
Or if you want to browse all of Paul's games, sunteam.co.uk is his page, where he's got lots and lots of games for the Specky Next, for example.
Yeah.
And again, there will be a link in the show notes because I know about them.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Chris, we learned something today.
Yeah. So yeah, support Paul and at least check out his game. If you're into the old... the old traditional text adventures, then this looks like a really nice one.
Yeah. And speaking of modern games for retro or retro-like platforms, we have been looking into some other venues for getting into some of those games, haven't we?
Yes,
we have. Dean, you've had a talk with the guys from Bitmapsoft?
Yes, I have indeed. And hopefully we'll be looking at their catalogue that will be available to us. These guys have been publishing new games for old platforms for quite a while, and it's something that we'd like to support. and they listen to the show. So hopefully this will work out quite well for us. And it informs our listeners of these games that they might not know about. So, yeah, we're looking forward to this.
And we've been wanting to get into modern development for classic platforms for a long time. We sometimes dip in, but we've never really dived truly into that point. So it'd be a good framing device for us as well to have a publisher to talk to that could maybe put us in contact with developers and so on and so forth.
I'm
really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I had a look at their homepage. I mean, there are some classic-looking Game Boy puzzlers there I really want to get into, for example. And they publish, I didn't know, but they publish for so many different platforms. It's impressive.
This isn't just 8-bit micros. No. Like you say, they're doing console games as well.
Atari 2600 games as well, and you very rarely see those physically.
Yeah.
Homebrew stuff, anyway.
And, a lot of these new games, they're worth playing. It's not just about the classic games, is it? Because not all old games are that great.
No.
some of these games, I think they're going unnoticed, which it's a bit of a shame. So if we can help them, it helps the developers and what have you. So, it
helps the scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like we're shining a light on this stuff, isn't it? Which is feels like we almost have a responsibility to do that, because there's a lot of guys, the guy who wrote Dougie Doo, spending weeks, months producing these things and then pushing it out for free.
Yeah. And, we've always been, we're like a platform people can, so if you're developing a game and you want to promote it, let us know about it and we'll give it a shout on the show. We love to tell people about this stuff. So
yeah, and pop into our Discord and drop a couple of links, drop a couple of preview videos, drop a demo file. We've got almost 900 members in our Discord group, and most of which are active to some extent and would love to hear about some of these new games. Rauschy laps this stuff up. I think he's bought every single one of Bitmapsoft's releases. He spends an absolute fortune with them.
Yeah, he's a fan.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
So use us, people. Come and talk to us for sure.
Yeah, contact us via Twitter, Facebook, whatever means, Discord.
Yeah.
All the links are on retroasylum.com. And I know I sound like I'm heavily promoting that, but it's there. Use it. Please do.
Yeah. Shout out to Martin for the
exactly. The rather site. Slick site, yeah.
With show notes.
With show notes.
With show notes. With show notes. Any episode that Dean's been on.
Yeah. And also, guys, this is to the members of our team. Please write out your little bio so I can add them to the About page.
Have I done mine yet?
No one's done any.
Good.
You're listening to Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Ocean, the brand leader, presents We Are the Champions, a fantastic collection of chart-topping games in a special boxed pack. International Karate Plus, an amazing update of the greatest karate beat-em-up yet. In the knife-edge world of the vigilante, there is no place to rest. Play Renegade, play mean. Rampage, the game where nice guys don't get a look in. Barbarian, the ultimate warrior. Can you vanquish the forces of darkness and free the princess? Super Sprint brings the best driving excitement ever to be experienced on home computers. We Are the Champions, out now on the Spectrum, Commodore or Amstrad for only £9.95 cassette, also available on disc.
Shall we crack on?
Yes, let's crack on.
So this really started from a shout out I put out on Discord as to suggestions for the April Game Club theme, and there was a fairly strong shout for the Speccy being the 40th anniversary. The other one that got a strong shout was the Atari ST. So I think we are going to have to do the Atari ST in the near future.
Yeah.
But as soon as John V, I think, pointed out to me that it was the 40th anniversary of the Speccy in April, it felt like a no-brainer to run a Speccy theme in April. You then start to think, well, okay, if we're going to do a Speccy theme, you can't really just say specky because the 12, 13,000 games that were released is a slightly too wide an ocean to choose from. So then it got to narrowing it down. And one of the other suggestions on Discord was isometric games. And I thought that sounds like a good idea, a really rich pool of games to choose from. So that's what we've gone for. Any specky game from an isometric, fixed isometric viewpoint that was released on the specky, doesn't matter whether it was the lead platform, that was the pool from which we chose our games. We've got two games each, slight variation to the theme there. We usually have three, but I thought having two might make it a little bit more focused, and we can bring two that we would really, really want to play. So shall we reveal our medium lists?
So before we do that, just one little thing I've noticed about our choices. Because this is a celebration of the Specky, we've all gone for some fairly heavy hitters. So we're not trying to find hidden gems or any obscure games here. We just want to enjoy our Speckies, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And the two games that I've chosen, I've not really played. I'll come back to the stories behind one of them in particular. But they are games I'm sure. I think five of the six, I'm sure people will have heard of.
Yeah, one of mine they probably won't have.
No.
But it's a good game.
Yeah. Well, why don't you kick us off, Dean?
Okay, my first choice, it's probably going to be no surprise, but this is one of the first ZX Spectrum games that a lot of people would have played back in the day, and it's Ant Attack. It's sometimes known as 3D Ant Attack, but the proper name is Ant Attack. It's probably one of the very first survival horror games. So,
the first sandbox games.
Yeah.
You could go on.
It's a well-known game. 3D isometric, obviously. You can either be female or male, and you've got to rescue your partner. And you're running around a city, each level's different parts of the city, and you've got to rescue your other half, and there's these giant ants roaming around. And when they spot you, they go for you. These things really do home in. And yeah, you can jump up a level like that. How can I explain it? The maze is made of blocks that you can jump up on. You can only jump up a one level higher block. So you can progress, you can get higher and higher if you need to. And you're armed with grenades, which you can. There's basically a few different distances you can throw the grenade. So if you use, I can't remember what key it is now, say it's A. That would be the short throw. S would be a slightly longer throw. D would be an even longer throw. So on. It's quite hard to control from what I remember. I've not played it in quite a while, but I remember the controls being a bit finicky. But it's a classic, which if you haven't played it, I think you need to give a try, even if it doesn't get selected. You know, please do give it a try. It's great game. It's scrolls. It's not. A lot of the isometric games on ZX Spectrum are like rooms. You know, it's just the camera doesn't move. Yeah. But this, it does actually scroll around. Great little game.
I was reading an interview yesterday with Sandy White, the author of the game.
Yeah.
He was telling about when he first revealed, there was a press reveal for this game. Mm. And I forget who published it. It was Quicksilver.
Yeah.
So Quicksilver held the press event to announce this game. When it came up on screen with all that 3D, the isometric, the visuals, there was apparently a gasp. You know, you could hear people gasp when they seen it.
Yeah,
nobody had seen really on a home computer.
No,
nobody. Had
no,
seen
I
like
think Zaxxon had probably been released in the arcades by this point.
Yeah, it had. Yeah.
But at the time, the ZX Spectrum, it was getting lots of Pac-Man clones, Space Invader clones, you know, all these little shoot 'em ups and what have you. This was something a bit different, and it looked very different. You know, the visuals, they look very dated now, but at the time they were really striking.
Yeah. All in 16K, I presume, as well?
I think it was.
Because it was a really early game, wasn't it? 83.
It was 83. So, yeah, it might have been 16K. I'm not sure. I'd have to check up on that.
I'd like to read a little bit more about his story, because this story focused, it was a bit kind of broad brush, but I'd like to hear him talk more about some of the techniques he used to create, because he essentially created a city, didn't he? In 16 or even 48K, it's still really impressive. He managed to build, and the routines he must have used to build each level and make them look different.
Yeah, well, I remember seeing it in magazines around the time. I didn't actually own a Spectrum back then. My friend did. And I didn't think it would be able to scroll. You know, I thought it'd be like a flick screen sort of game. And when I eventually saw it running, when my friend bought it, I was gobsmacked.
Yeah. It's fair to say it was pretty influential.
Yeah.
Just a touch.
Definitely.
Very nice choice. Mads, what have you brought?
So I've definitely bought a good-looking game. It is from, it's from 84, so not that much younger than Dean's game. A heavy hitter, indeed. It's Ultimate Play the Game's Night Lore.
Another classic.
This is a real classic, and it's one of those games that even I have played a lot. It's these beautiful monochrome isometric graphics. You are the hero, of course, who has to rescue Melchior the Wizard, I think, who... Yeah. And you have to travel through these rooms for 40 days and nights, and at night you turn into a werewolf. And then you need to solve the puzzles of how to progress through these screens, and there are no straightforward straightforward means of showing you what you actually need to do. It's always presented in riddles, if I recall correctly. So it's a bit of a puzzler, a bit of a platformer, and you need to use both your brains and your reflexes here. So a beautiful game and a bit of a family project. I was just looking at the credits for it. So this was designed by Chris and Tim Stamper.
The graphics
is by Tim and Carol. And Carol is Tim's wife.
Okay.
And the programming is by Chris. And then we've got John Lathbury programming as well there. And then the cover artwork by Tim. So almost a 100% Stamper project here from 1984.
Pretty much every game, every isometric game certainly on the home micros that came after Night Lore was essentially
definitely inspired by this.
Inspired is probably putting it nicely. I mean, they were essentially clones of them. I think they each tried to do their different things, but yeah, I mean, if Antitak created the mold, then Night Lore certainly fixed it in place, it seems.
Yeah, and you know, look at the leap in graphics from incredible. 3D Antitak to Night Lore.
It's
obviously
amazing.
Night Lore doesn't scroll like Antitak does, but you know, the graphics are so much nicer.
Yes.
The only thing that's really put me off spending any real time with Night Lore is the slowdown. Chris O'Regan played this on, I can't remember whether it was when he was still with us or after he'd gone to Kane and Rince, he streamed it. I was watching his stream, and the slowdown in some of the rooms was pretty bad.
I wonder if that's there, if that's faithfully emulated in something like the Rare Replay package that many people will have.
Yeah, could be. One way that might be interesting to try playing this is on the Specky Next with the sped up clock speed.
Yeah, could though.
Yeah, that's true.
Make could it try interesting it. To see how it runs. But it's a classic that I've not spent anywhere near enough time with. So that's a very strong shout.
Cool.
So I'm going to go in chronological order. So the first of my games is a game called Movie, which I think is actually an acronym, but I think it is MOVIE, but I don't know what they stand for. But it's more commonly known as Movie, game from 1986, published by Imagine Software, and written by, I want to kill this.
Dusko, it's a Spanish developer, wasn't it?
No, I think it was a Serbian guy. Dusko Dimitrijević. Are you thinking about that one that's got the cathedral one that came later?
Oh, might be, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at that one, but it was Spanish only on the Spectrum. The English version's on the MSX2, and I can't remember the name of it now.
Yeah, I won't even go there with a name, so I'll butcher it.
So this is, I think is you pronounce it, Dusko Dmitrievich. Right. He and his partner wrote a game which is very much influenced by the earlier Filmation games from Ultimus, for sure. But this feels like it's probably got more in common with a traditional adventure game in that you can actually talk to NPCs.
Yeah.
So you play as a private detective who has to go and retrieve a tape, a cassette from a hideout belonging to a local mob boss. So it's not quite a sandbox, but it's an open world that you can explore as you work out how to get this tape back. And there are two twin girls in the city, one of whom will help you, one of whom will lead you down the garden path and end up with you being killed. So you have to work out based on the conversations you have, and the conversations are freeform. So you can walk up to an NPC and then you get a little dialogue box above the head and you can type whatever you want to ask them. So I imagine it's going to be quite hard trying to guess what you need to ask when. Mm. But from the answers, you have to work out who it is who's lying to you and who's telling the truth. And that is essentially the game. There's an inventory. There are objects to pick up and use. There are puzzles to solve. There are baddies to shoot.
It's got nice animation, this, isn't it? You know, when he picks stuff up, you see him put it in his pocket.
It's really detailed, and the sprites are lovely. They've got a different look to the Ultima Play the Game graphics and the later John Ripman games as well. The John Ripman games.
The sprites are fairly tall, aren't they?
They
rather than fat, squashed, you know, with Batman and head over heels.
Exactly.
You know, Bernie Drummond's artwork, they always looked a bit squashed.
It's very distinctive.
Yeah.
It's like a midget Batman, wasn't it? He didn't really say that, should I? but this... The,
a
these,
small Batman.
The, exactly. These do look distinctive, these graphics. I had this as a kid. So, bearing in mind, I would have been 4 when this game was published. I probably had this at some point around the late 80s.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to... The thought of stepping into the shoes of a private detective and going and having to solve this case, I was all over it. I love games like Police Quest, and I was all over this. But I was just too young to really make any headway with it. So I've always wanted to go back to it. And when we mentioned, or when I thought isometric games could be a good idea, this immediately came to mind as one that I would love to play. So I think it could be a really fun game to explore for a month. I think it'll suit being on Discord and people sharing how they've done stuff and who they spoke to and what they asked. I think it could be really good fun.
Yeah. I've never actually played it. Someone in our chat thought that I'd reviewed it.
That was, it was me.
Ago.
I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted the game, but I couldn't get it. Imagine or Ocean released another game called The Phantom Club, which looked very similar in style. I don't know if it's by the same developers.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And in the shop that I worked at as a teenager selling games, they never had that in stock, but they kept getting this Phantom Club come in. And I was going to pick it up, but it was superheroes, and I didn't like the aspect of that. So, yeah, I never did play movie, but it's always intrigued me. You know, it does look very stylish and...
See, I thought you'd mention this when you'd been talking about school days. I'm sure on one of the episodes you were talking about school days or back to school, and you were talking about this game in which you played this.
That was Contact Sam Cruise.
Ah, that's it, yeah.
Which is another game similar in style, I guess, but it's not 3D isometric.
Is it more side on perspective like school
it
days?
Is, it is, but it's. Yeah, similar style, you know, that 1940s, 50s.
Like noirish.
Yeah.
I think it looks really good.
Mm.
Yeah. So back to you, Dean. Cool.
Right, okay. My next game is one that you probably haven't heard of. It's called WHB, but to give it its proper title, again, the letters are broken up, so it's W*H*B. I don't know what it stands for. It's released in 2009. Bob Smith was the programmer. And it's a puzzle game, a 3D isometric puzzle game in which you control... It's like a cube or a rectangle sort of shape. And it topples over. And you can move it about from side to side. You can roll it over any side, but you've got to land. How can I explain it? The levels are like a grid system, and there'll be a square blacked out, and you've got to try and land this shape on that blacked out square. It's really hard to explain. You need to see this game in motion. I first played a variant of it on the Vectrex and got into it, and then tried this ZX Spectrum version. Really playable game.
128K?
No, I think it's 48K. 48K game.
Yeah, it's 48K, yeah. Looks really interesting. I love those puzzle games.
Yeah, sounds right up my street, this.
And it did get a physical release by Chronosoft, but I'm sure there is a download available for free. It might not be the full game.
It should be on World of Spectrum, shouldn't it? All the homebrew games end up there.
Spectrumcomputing.co.uk. You should find a download for it. But yeah, very interesting game. Again, have a look on the show notes. I'll put a link in so people can see this in motion.
Yeah.
Because I've not really described it very well.
I think you've described it perfect. That's exactly what it is. I had a quick look at that YouTube video you posted.
Yeah, it's an interesting game and quite challenging.
Yeah.
Whether you could play it for a month or not is another thing. But I like it, and you might do too. So give it a look.
Looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good. I mean, it's on a grid. And your little rectangle is like twice the size of those little squares there on the, on the grid. And then when you flip it over, of course, take up two spaces.
It'll be like a tower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So figuring out how to get through and push the buttons you need to push and finally get to the exit is the puzzle. And it's got lots and lots of details like teleports and of course, buttons to press.
Yeah,
and,
it's quite a bit
mutating levels. Yeah, it looks really good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice choice. It's nice to get something out of left field.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's nice to feature. I mean, it's a modern game by the standards of the games, the age of the games we're talking about, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But 2009, what were we in there? 2022. So, yeah, it's still fairly old.
It's retro and it has had a, come on.
It is, but it's like we were saying earlier on the news section, you know, there's... These are games for classic systems. They're just a bit newer. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Excellent. Mads.
Yes. My next game is like 23 years older than that. It's one of the old originals and one of the games that you guys have been talking about all the time and I've never played. It's Batman for the ZX Spectrum, of course.
Yeah, the 3D isometric version.
Yes, exactly. Published by Ocean Software in 86.
Yeah.
I know almost nothing about this. I'm just I want to play it because everybody always talks about Batman on the Spectrum as being a great game, and that's pretty much it. I think Dean is probably better at describing what is Batman.
It's the first game that ever featured Batman.
It's the first computer game that featured Batman.
Okay.
Well, it's very similar to Nightlaw, really. In presentation, you're in the Batcave and you're solving puzzles and stuff. It's got a bit of a platform element to it in places.
The Batcave is probably not what you traditionally think of.
No, it's not.
More like the mansion from Resident Evil, I think.
And you know, Batman, he's a short, tubby guy, really, in this.
It's very sweet.
It's definitely based on it's got elements of the TV show in it.
Yeah.
He
wanted to put Robin into it, didn't he? John Ritman, but he didn't. In the time that he had, he couldn't figure out how to code how to make the second character work within the confines of the game. Mm. So that would come later.
Yeah, because this is before head over heels. So
Looks, it looks great, and if nothing else, from what I've read about it, it's and I've never played it or the game that I'm going to choose, which we may have just given away. But apparently it's a good game, perhaps not a great game, but it was at the time it was very popular because of the Batman. I wondered if he properly licensed Batman from DC.
Yeah, it's properly licensed. I mean, this was published by Ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bob Wakelin done the cover art.
Yeah.
And I think they were quite... They had licensed it from DC. And I remember Bob... I think this might have been an interview. He might have told me personally, because we did meet Bob a few times. And DC were quite strict on the length of Batman's ears on the cover art. Oh, were they?
Okay.
Yeah, they had to be a certain height, you know. And he had drawn, I think he had done some artwork for DC previously to doing the cover. But I remember him mentioning something about that. You know, DC were very strict on the length of Batman's ears.
Interesting.
So luckily they weren't strict on the in-game graphics. No, they
luckily, yeah, because he is Fat Man in this, and it's all a bit squished. But, you know, Bernie Drummond's, who sadly passed away recently, he's done an outstanding job on the graphics on all these games. I think they look great.
Yeah.
Particularly, the 3D isometric ones.
It makes them distinctive, and you can tell straight away you're looking at a Bernie Drummond and John Ripman game, can't you, when you see these two. Yeah. There is a difference in the... From to the ultimate games, I think.
So I think that the little chubby Batman sprite is very, very endearing, very charming.
Very cute.
Yeah.
The
game is hard, though, I believe.
Okay.
So I think it can seduce you with its cute exterior, but then it will kill you with its difficulty. A bit like my second game, which is it's not a follow up. It's the next game they created, the duo of John and Bernie. Because in 1987, Ocean published their Head Over Heels, which is, by reckonings that I've read, not only a Stone Cold classic, but perhaps the greatest, the pinnacle of the isometric action adventure games. Certainly, if you discount Last Ninja, which maybe as is the other one that's in the shout, perhaps on the spectrum. Obviously, it's all opinions, but from what I've read, it is widely considered a Stone Cold classic. It's another game that I've always wanted to go back to and play. It sounds so much up my street. It almost feels criminal, a bit like Day of the Tentacle, that I'd never played it. It's a game which you have to navigate your way around from location to location, solving puzzles, picking up items, probably thinking, well, what difference is this to all of the other isometric games? The big mechanical difference here is that you can flip between head and heels at any time, and you have to use that mechanic to solve various puzzles. And that, to me, sounds like manna from heaven. That switching, and perhaps it continues the theme from Day of the Tentacle, that switching from character to character, each one has unique abilities that you need to get through this world. It looks like very similar to what we've just been describing about Batman. It's got that distinctive, almost squashed look, but it really works in this crazy game where you've got these anthropomorphic characters and just strange goings on. The whole thing just looks really surreal, and I think Bernie Drummond's art style really plays into that. I think it looks incredible. I should have already played it. I haven't. I feel like this is one that we need to, guys. Yeah, this is the one, isn't it? For you guys, you're going to have to eliminate one of my games. This has to be the one we put forward, right?
Let's see. Movie sounds really interesting as well.
It does.
The Head Over Heels is a Stone Cold classic. We played this, was it the third part of the 8-Bit Warstein? We played the CPC and Spec.
That's right,
And C64 version of this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the Spectrum was the lead platform on this and Batman, but I can't remember if... Yeah, Batman did come out on the CPC, but obviously Head Over Heels did, and it looks a bit nicer on the CPC, it has to be said, because the sprites are coloured.
yeah,
a little bit more. I think it's only 4 color graphics, but it does help, you know, the graphics stand out a bit more and you can distinguish them a bit more on the Amstrad. But yeah, this is a Spectrum episode, so yeah, it's great game. It's very hard. It was originally going to be called Foot and Mouth.
But okay.
Yeah, Ocean didn't want to go down that way, which you can't blame him, I guess.
it's the third game that we featured with artwork by Bob Wakelin as well, which is the late great Bob Wakelin, and again an absolutely incredible cover.
Oh no, I'm too late. Missed the boat on a game? Don't worry, the Playthrough podcast are bringing it back. Cruise over to the website at playthrough.com for episodes, links to our Discord and Twitter, and much more. Play along with Playthrough and be part of the conversation.
Come on, hobbitses, follow Smeagol, good Smeagol. Games, oh, he loves his games. But we hate his retro games. No, no, we don't. We love his retro games. No, we hate it. We hate the pixel count. No, we love the pixel count. Smeagol loves pixels. No.
So now, the moment of truth, elimination time. Mm. We need. So the rules are slightly different here. So. Whoever's game it is, the other two have to agree which game to eliminate. Should we start
this
with
this? Could
Dean?
Take all day.
Matt, you and I have to agree which of Dean's games to eliminate.
I hate having to agree with you, mate.
You're gonna have to try, I'm afraid.
Okay, Dean, give us your games again then.
Mine was
Dean's holding up a Batman
attack.
Comic. What are you doing that for?
No, it's your Sinclair. It's Batman.
It's a Batman comic.
it is the review of 3D isometric Batman. Mine was Ant Attack and WHB.
Okay. So Ant Attack is a game I've heard about so many times and been wanting to play, but that puzzle game, Chris.
That does sound
WHB,
good.
WHB.
Yeah.
Looks so good. I was just checking out a YouTube video of it.
Looks good, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, the your little block there can mutate the level sometimes by pushing some switches or entering teleports, and
it
you
looks
need to
great.
Figure out how to actually get past a narrow walkway when you're that wide, and it looks really good.
It does look really good. It won't win though, Mads, because maybe nobody, not. People who won't listen to, don't listen to this, won't recognize the name.
Oh, that's true.
All they've got to do is type in WHB ZX Spectrum.
Yeah,
bring up
you
the
know,
video and it looks good.
People are just going to click on the link.
Chris.
They're
links.
Not going to do that.
Ah, oh, come on.
But I don't. I mean, as much as I think Ant Attack is very influential, and I think we should probably all have a look at it, I'd rather play one of the other games and really get into them. I think rather than, I think it's probably quite primitive being the first.
It's probably too arcadey for you guys. It's because
the
essentially
puzzles,
there aren't any puzzles.
No.
There ain't.
No, you've got to find a
partner.
Of, and...
Yeah, you find someone and shoot a few ants. It's a good game. Yeah, I'll make it sound
terrible. Sound great.
But it's a classic. It's a great game. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Should we give WHB a go, Mads?
Yeah, that's the one I want to keep in.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I just hope that...
And if it doesn't win, I'm going to play it anyway because that
looks
brilliant.
It does look really good. I hope people at least Google it before they make the
decision. Yeah, please do have a look at it.
Yeah.
No, good choice, Dean. Yes, okay, so we're going to take out Ant Attack
okay.
and keep WHB. Do you guys want to have a crack taking out one of mine?
Sure. Remind us again.
So we've got games. Movie... Mm-hmm. Published by Imagine, Dusko Dmitrievich, and we've got the classic Head Over Heels, published by Ocean, Rittman and Drummond.
So what do you say, Dean?
This is tricky, isn't it? Because
Head
Over Heels is obviously the more well-known game. It might well be the better game. I don't know, because I've I've played Head Over Heels. I found it very hard, but because you have to know when to swap over to the other character, I'm sure there's a certain bit where you can get stuck if you don't do it right.
And isn't there something like 400 rooms in that game? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a big game. It's going to be tricky. But
and how do you get through it without being able to save it if you don't use save states?
You leave your Spectrum on. Hope it doesn't melt. That's probably, it's a game that I used to load up quite a bit, but I never got far in it. Movie, I don't know. I mean, it looks good. So I like the animation. It's got the little inventory system at the bottom.
I like the idea of the freeform communication module there, or the ways of interacting.
I really don't want to suggest, because I don't know. Most people probably be saying Head Over Heels, but is that a bit too obvious to go for? I just don't know.
I'm happy either way. I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Head Over Heels is a really nice game. I've played it quite a lot for our 8-Bit Wars, and I played it a bit afterwards as well. But like Dean, I never get far because it's actually really hard to figure out what you're supposed to do, and it is huge. I mean, this game is
massive. There are Head Over Heels. It's out on most platforms as well. The Atari ST and Amiga versions. Did you ever play those?
Very briefly. I had the Amiga version. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I only played the 8-bit versions.
I don't know. I don't want to suggest, Mads. I'll go with whatever you think.
But I don't want to make Chris too sad here. So I'm just gonna tease it a bit. I'm actually most intrigued by Movie.
I think I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably also because Head Over Heels is really well known, like some of my choices. But I'm most interested in playing Movie, I think.
Yeah.
Myself.
Cool. Right. Yep. Yeah, I'll say Movie.
Good choice. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Chris.
No. Movie's a game that I've wanted to play for probably 35 years. So I'm well happy with that. That's fine by me.
Cool.
That's good.
So remind us, Mads, what did you have?
So I had Batman, or the isometric Batman, as you call it, 3D isometric Batman. And I had the classic Night Lore.
Okay. What do you think, Dean?
I don't know. I like both of them.
So my two.
I really like Night Lore because of that feature, you know, where it changes. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the performance of Night Lore after watching Chris O'Regan get very frustrated with it when he streamed it, whenever it was. Yeah. And he got classic Chris O'Regan frustration with it. Not quite Chase HQ levels.
Yeah, but he gets frustrated. That's the thing, you know, with Chase HQ. That was all his own doing, I'm afraid.
He couldn't find the high gear.
No.
Anyway, he did. It did look difficult to play in those areas when it slowed down. I feel like we've dumped one John Ripman game. Can we really live with ourselves if we dump two?
He might well be listening. He could well be. I don't want to upset him. I don't know.
I think Batman would be a more interesting game to have a look at. I think it's similar to Head Over Heels and Movie. Surely
if you're going to play it, guys, please play it on a 128K machine. At least that way. It's not got continuous in-game music, but it's got little jingles when you solve puzzles or enter a room and stuff. So.
Which one?
Batman.
Right.
Okay.
Are we going with Batman then?
I guess so.
Shall we?
Yeah, go on. Go with Batman.
Okay. So we take out Night Lore.
Yeah, although I don't think the slowdown's that bad. I think Chris is probably doing something. Was it on the real hardware that he was playing?
Yeah, it was. I don't know what model, but it was on real specky hardware, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll go with Batman because technically it is excellent.
Yeah,
great.
I don't think it slows down at all. And there's plenty of puzzles and stuff to keep everyone intrigued, I think.
Okay.
So, guys, we've got Batman, we've got WHB, and we've got movie for you to vote on. Vote Batman, of course, because that was my choice. And second, then you can go with Dean's and Chris's.
It's a good lineup, actually, isn't it? Probably, yeah. we did have some heavy hitters in there.
They're all a bit different as well. Yeah. That's the great thing. Yeah. You know, this could have been three games that played very similar.
Yeah, yeah. Could have been.
But these don't. They're quite different.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think we've done a good job.
WHB is obviously the better game, but
I just hope people have a look at that before they vote.
I do.
I would really like to play that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully, because we've said about it, you know, and our listeners are very clever people, they will check it out.
Yeah, our informed and educated listeners.
Exactly, yes.
That's what we like. Unlike us, you just rock up and talk. Yeah. Other than you, of course, Dean.
Well, I think he's right first time.
So there we go, fellas. That is, we'll get this out as soon as we can and get the fairly rapid vote up and look to start playing whatever game wins the start of April. And also, Great Escape is an isometric game, which didn't dawn on me until this morning.
No.
How funny.
Yeah.
You could have had it for the Game Club as well as your finishing episode.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to people. It's a good game. Do check it out. But
yeah,
if you haven't done already.
Any shout-outs, Dean?
Matt, Steve, as per usual, Jamie at Bitmapsoft, Robert Moran, everyone, Nintendo Arcade, Alex, yeah, hello.
Good man. Matt?
Yeah, the Scouser and the guy from Slough.
Sloth.
Sloth.
Apart from that, Carl from Video Game Newsroom Time Machine, who I just recorded yet another episode with. And the Retro Game Squad guys, they just recently released a really, really good episode on some Game Boy games, with highlighting some games that I've never played before that sound really interesting. So shout out to those guys. I always love when they drop a new episode. It's quarterly now, so four episodes a year, so it's an easy show to follow these days.
Yeah. Me, shout out to, obviously, hello to Steve and Matt. Shout out to Martin again, Deadlock, who's currently, him and his family are currently recovering from COVID, so get well soon, mate. Thank you for all the help that you've given us, not just here, but over on Playthrough as well. Hello to Andy and Jim, our co-hosts on Playthrough.
No, we don't speak to those guys anymore because of
Don't know what decent graphics are.
Yeah.
Oh, big shout out to Paul Higgins as well, who I set his mister up for his arcade machine the other week.
Oh, is that who it was? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. And there we go. Oh, big shout out to our patrons. We love you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Your names will be in the show notes and will be spoken in lights on the next episode for sure.
Dean is going to sing them on the next episode.
You're going to sing them, Dean?
Is that right? I can't even say them, let alone sing them.
In the style of the Fonz.
Yes.
That's did the Fonz sing?
I'm sure he did.
You're thinking of Elvis. I know I look a bit slick today.
There's some Elvis there as well. So.
Hey, baby.
On that note, happy birthday to the Specky. Happy birthday to Jeff Minter in April. He's 60.
Yep.
And see you all next time.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures.